How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melodies.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network here Monday through Friday. I guess this is a bonus show. I don't know. We had to get back into this boogie conversation. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, Jay King. You guys recorded a podcast last night when we thought it was safe to record a show. And then half an hour later, unbelievably, the Kings traded DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans, which I was joking around earlier in the day saying this would never happen. Why would you do that for Hield? And I thought it was two picks, two first round picks. I didn't think that was going to happen, but it did. So, Jay, why don't you just tell us what you know from your end of things?
So it sounds like the Kings have a different viewpoint of Buddy Hield than most other organizations. I think a lot of people around the NBA consider him a likely role player. But the Kings, for whatever reason, have coveted him since dating back to the draft and see him as like a legitimate lottery talent. So they think they added a legitimate lottery talent in Buddy Hield, plus a first-round pick that will probably be late end of the lottery, maybe just outside of the lottery. And so they think they got a pretty good return for Cousins. And the way other people see it from the outside isn't necessarily how they view the return that they got for him. Now, obviously, you know, a lot of people were stunned the Kings only received what they did for Cousins based on the fact that, you know, he still has a year and a half left on his current contract. He has been statistically one of the best big men for years, one of the most dominant when he's at his best, one of the most skilled, certainly, in the league. So Just a weird, weird trade all around. And I think especially, you know, it came days before the trade deadline. The Kings didn't really even give a chance for a bidding war to happen. Like, they could have put it out there that they were going to trade Cousins and waited as the market changed and probably raised his value over the next few days. But instead, they jumped on the Buddy Hield train and traded Cousins to the New Orleans Pelicans. So just a wild, wild night where Cousins, you know, he's at the All-Star game literally 2 days after he had expressed joy that he was able to avoid trade rumors talk for the first time at All-Star weekend. He was dealt from the Kings. And I mean, just a crazy trade. I don't think anyone was really stunned. Cousins was moved because of how rocky the situation has been there, but the way it happened and the return the Kings got, it all seems like just a weird, weird and somewhat fitting end to the Cousins era in Sacramento.
Yeah, fitting. Absolutely. I have this feeling, and it's just a guess, that the getting suspended and reaching that technicals limit and the way he acted, sniping at Golden State Warriors fans after beating them. And just, it seemed like he had gone even further off the rails than he usually was. And I think the one guy in the Vivek Ranadive suddenly just said, all right, fine. That was the somewhere along the way recently was the tipping point that changed his mind. And his was the mind that needed to be changed. So, but really what people in from a Boston perspective now are all upset about is why wasn't Danny Ainge in on this deal? And part of it seems to be that he just didn't want to be in on this deal, that he and Brad Stevens never really seemed to be overly anxious to get a guy like Cousins, that they weren't willing to pay him or at least felt some level of trepidation about paying him and coaching him and giving up assets and making him the guy that you're committing to. Because if you trade for him, that's it. That's the guy that you're committing to and is building around him and the guys that you have. And but the other side of it, like you said, did they even have a chance? There was a report in Forbes just a little while ago that suggests Ainge was trying to kind of get in late in the process and just never could. So did Vlade Divac really, really hold Buddy Hield in that high a regard? And did Ainge suddenly look around and say, wait, you're giving him away for that? Hold on, let me come on in and see if I can offer you like one of these bargain deals and we can do something. But that never happened. I just never really felt like the Celtics gave a shit about being in on Cousins. Yeah, I would think that by Sunday night, if they really, really cared and there was some indication from Sacramento that Cousins was available, some point between then and Sunday night when that deal was done, that Ainge would have at least offered something. And there's no reporting that Ainge offered anything.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I think happened. So Sacramento, you would have had to actually earn Cousins, because Sacramento doesn't look at what they got as a bargain. Like they look at Hield as a real chip. They're excited about getting a first round pick in this draft. I think they were excited to get rid of Cousins to an extent and start the rebuilding process anew. So it wasn't like, I don't think you could just throw out a weak offer and they were going to accept it. They were excited to get Buddy Hield. They were excited to get what they got. And so I think the Celtics would have had to pay more than people initially thought they would have. And they weren't willing to pay the premium. If it was Jaylen Brown and a Brooklyn Nets pick, which it might have had to be based on how highly the Pelicans look at Hield and their obvious focus on getting 2007 draft equity. Both of the picks they received were in the 2017 draft. That might have been what they were asking from Boston. And if it was, then from what I've heard, Boston wasn't willing to pay that much of a premium for DeMarcus Cousins. And I think that's because of the risk involved with acquiring him. Like, obviously, he's a fantastic talent. He would have helped the rebounding, which clearly they need. He can shoot threes to space the floor for Isaiah Thomas. He's a great playmaker, which the Celtics love in big men. There's so much basketball-wise that he would have been great, but as much as there's a possibility that he would have lifted the Celtics to the next level, turned them into a real contender, gotten his crap together and really transformed into this winning force in a different culture, there's also the possibility that all of the issues surrounding him, the clashes with coaches, the berating reporters, all of it, the whole package, there's a possibility that wouldn't have gone away and that he would have divided the Celtics locker room and really caused, you know, some the harmonious feeling in around the Celtics right now to disappear. And I do think that was part of the reasoning that the Celtics weren't willing to pay the premium for him. I think they prefer to keep their options open for Jimmy Butler and Paul George in the future, and just in case those guys come on the market. And I wouldn't have been surprised if like they could have stolen Boogie for a cheap deal if they would have gone after him, but I don't think they're willing to pay full price for him. And it sounds like the Kings wanted full price or close to it, that they really did value Hield more than other teams did.
Yeah, I guess that's the key thing to really lock in here, is that they think Buddy Hield is much more than we think he is. And look, he's a rookie. We don't know what he's going to be. Just like we have to be patient with Jaylen Brown, and we have to be patient about other rookies. Him being, you know, he's still shooting, what, like 36%? So he could develop into a much more lethal shooting option, and who knows? So I've seen people try to compare this to the Gasol trade from Memphis, and you know, have that reminder, that caveat, like, hey, look, they got Marc Gasol back, and that turned into a pretty good piece, and that's made them really, really good. So you don't know until this draft is over and a few years into it who they got, what they ended up getting overall, what Hield develops into. And so that's where you end up judging the trade. Right now, it feels like an absolute fleecing. It feels like they're way overvaluing Hield, and that they're, for the Celtics who have gotten in, they would have had to match that perception and match an offer that matched what Sacramento thought they were getting from New Orleans. I can tell you, man, that does not feel like a great package from New Orleans. So we're going to have, I guess we're just going to have to move on from that. People are upset that Danny Ainge doesn't seem to be doing anything. And I don't know if people are more upset that they missed out on Cousins, or if they're more upset that guys are moving around the league and Danny Ainge doesn't seem to be kind of in on a lot of this action. And I think people just want to see Ainge do something.
Yeah, at some point, I do think he wants to make a move. But look, if there is risk there, and with Cousins, there's certainly risk. You could argue whether he's worth it. Certainly, he has a ton of talent, and in a lot of ways, as I said, would be a great basketball fit. But the options for the Celtics and the possible alternatives to Cousins that come down the road, whether it's just keeping Jaylen Brown, keeping using the Brooklyn Nets picks, or at some point moving those pieces for a more stable player, I think that was maybe more attractive to the Celtics. I'm still stunned. Like, not that they traded him, but just the way it happened. What convinced them? You know, they've been going around telling everybody, including apparently Cousins' agent, that they planned to sign him to a contract extension this summer. All of a sudden, they're pulling the trigger on a deal days before the deadline, and it just seemed like everything was rushed. Everything came out of the blue, and maybe that's just because I don't have enough information about it. I'm a little in the dark about what their motives were, but did they grow more wary of Cousins? Did they start to think he wouldn't change? What happened that Vivek Ranadive, whose name I can now pronounce?
Awesome. That was a great job.
Thank you. What happened that convinced him to finally sign off on a Cousins deal now versus his past reluctance to make a deal for him? So I don't know what happened there. It's just really a stunning deal. And now, I mean, you look at the Pelicans, Cousins and Anthony Davis, if they can maximize those two guys together, that is an incredibly talented duo.
Yeah, that actually works really, really well for New Orleans, because now you don't have to play Davis at the five, or at least not as much. You can still do it a little bit, but definitely not in an extended period of time. You can have him kind of float around, and you rely on Cousins to defend the rim, and now you've got Anthony Davis as a help defender, which is not a bad idea. You're using length, and good length, at a time where everybody's kind of going small, but you've got Davis is obviously, you know, really athletic and can do a lot of things, and Cousins does, you know, a lot offensively. So it's going to be a real interesting fit down there. Obviously they're not a finished product, and now they're giving up draft picks. I wonder if New Orleans is going to want to figure out a way to get back into this draft somehow. So you got to watch. This is the type of deal that now gets the rest of the league moving. You know, now you, and I guess one question is, does this set the market for what a star goes for? Let's pretend Danny Ainge is talking to the Bulls about Jimmy Butler. Well, we don't have to pretend. We know he is. But let's pretend that they're in the negotiation process. Does he bring up the Cousins trade and say, look, I'm not giving you all of this that you want because that was what Cousins went for. I don't have to give you all of this. You're not going to get all of this. No one's going to pay because we know what the going rate is now for a superstar. Or do those other teams just not care? Like, look, Vivek, Vlade, they're crazy. We're not them. We're going to do our own deal. That's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I mean, just a wild shift from the fact that a lot of people thought Cousins was going to stay put to all of a sudden they have a bidding war, decide on bidding war of sorts. Like, sounds like they didn't really let it get to a full-on bidding war. Like, they just talked to some teams, asked for, in some cases, the moon. Like, they asked for Brandon Ingram from the Lakers, apparently. They chose Buddy Hield of all their offers, whatever those were. So, just a strange deal. The Kings remain a weird, weird team. And maybe they needed to move on from Cousins. Maybe, regardless of the package, they just needed to move on and recenter their organization around something else, anything else.
But no pun intended.
But for now, it just seems like a weird, frantic, rushed ending where they took a deal that probably isn't great, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm with you. The fact that they didn't let it get to the deadline, that's the real curious thing. And maybe they thought that, look, we're not – New Orleans wasn't going to leave Hield on the table, which I would say is ridiculous. That there's no way if you have that package on the table that they would pull Hield off. I'm like, nope, that's it. We're walking. You know, we're not going to take Cousins. If you're willing to trade for Cousins, you're willing to give up those things. So why wouldn't you at least go one more day? You know, why not go out to Danny Ainge or anybody else? You know, go to Phoenix, go to Chicago, go to one of these other teams. Somebody say, hey, this is what we've got in the books. We're ready to take this deal. Can you guys beat it? Yeah. You know, so however that ends up working out amongst GMs. But why not try to maximize what you can get? How many times do big stars like this get traded? Almost never. And so when you do have an opportunity, and you have to look at it as an opportunity when you're the Kings to reset and start over, you got to make sure that you're getting your absolute maximum back for a guy like that. And I don't know, maybe they did more than we think and some stuff will come out. It doesn't feel that way. It just feels like they settled. But apparently, like we said, apparently they don't feel like they settled because they love Buddy Hield. So we're going to have to see.
Do you blame the Celtics for passing on Cousins if they did pass on him?
I don't. I mean, if they had an organizational meeting and Brad Stevens indicated that he wouldn't want to coach a guy like Stevens and they were afraid of what he would do to the locker room, then I would not fault them. I understand the allure. I understand what kind of player he is and how much he fits. He would have fit great. But if he tore that locker room apart, if he continued to be who he was, and also think about this, you're giving up all these guys. Here's a guy who's going to get suspended every other technical foul he got. So you're trading for a guy that's going to potentially miss half the rest of the games. So I understand where people are coming from when they say we should have gotten him, should have made an offer, we should have done all we could to get him here and win now. If they had any trepidation, then I don't blame them at all, because that's the guy. Like I said, you are putting all of your eggs in the DeMarcus Cousins basket. All of your cap space, that goes to him. Your draft picks mostly go away. And whatever young players you had that maybe had to go out, you're basically in that win now mode, that post KG Ray Allen win now mode with DeMarcus Cousins as your lead guy, essentially. That, I mean, doesn't that sentence scare you? I mean, that scares me to hear, like, whew, all right, if we're going to win Banner 18, it's going to be on the back of DeMarcus Cousins. That's a scary prospect.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tantalizing prospect, too, you know? Like,
it is.
Like, Cousins is one of the most volatile stocks in the NBA. He could lift the Pelicans with Anthony Davis. Like, they could just be an absolutely dynamite duo for the next decade. Or I don't think anyone would be surprised if it went the other way and Cousins failed to fit in and issues that have sprinkled the Kings organization now follow Cousins to New Orleans. I don't think anyone would be shocked by that either. Like, the spectrum of possibilities here is very, very wide. But I do think the Pelicans had to make the deal at the price they got it. That was a great trade for them. Even if it's risky, like, how much are you really risking? Buddy Hield, who I don't think will ever be a star player, a first-round pick that's probably going to be middle of the first round now, and not much else. So Pelicans had to do it. Crazy, crazy world. We also have a Jahlil Okafor rumor out of the sky from ESPN's Mark Stein, who said, what did he say? Something about the Celtics might still be giving consideration to Jahlil Okafor. Are you a Jahlil Okafor guy?
No. He's talented. He's very talented offensively. I think defensively, he doesn't do the things that we were looking for in a big guy. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a big rim protector.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't blame them if they could get him on the cheap and try to nurse his value back and teach him how to protect the rim and hopefully mold somebody who, you know, just 2 years ago he was considered the number one overall prospect in a draft that had Karl Anthony Towns. And
yeah,
I wouldn't blame them if they took a flyer if he has a cheap price. I don't think it would be something where they would invest serious assets into Okafor because he hasn't shown talent for defense or rebounding, because the most critical things that big men do, he hasn't done. I would be very hesitant if I were the Celtics to invest serious assets, but a flyer, whatever, who cares? I doubt that'll happen, though. I doubt that move will come to fruition, but it's an interesting rumor to put out there nonetheless.
I'm you got to have that caveat with everything. I would not necessarily target Okafor. I've never really targeted Okafor in any of these types of deals, but the caveat is, well, if you can get him for basically nothing, if it's something that you still have all of your other flexibility and you're not losing cap space, you're not losing anything significant, I don't know why Philly would do that, but if you can get them for cheap, then yeah. I mean, if it doesn't work out, it's a low risk move. And if it costs you, I don't know, a couple of second rounders or one of those future, like the Clippers pick or something like that, then, you know, whatever. Some of those picks you're going to end up having to move at some point, but it's not, and I also don't want to throw those things away. But if you can get them cheap, then yeah, okay, sure, take a flyer. And if you have to cut them or let them walk, that's not a big deal. I just don't want to screw anything up picks wise or flexibility wise. So, which we know Danny Ainge isn't going to do, but the rumors are there, man.
The rumors are there. And sometimes reality is crazier than any trade ideas people float out on Twitter, man. If someone had proposed that on Twitter, it would have been like, "Oh, shut up! That'll never happen."
No, well, no, we would have laughed that off.
Cousins is in New Orleans.
If somebody had sent that to me in a trade machine and said, "Who said no?" I would have like retweeted and said, "Me and everybody else." Like, no one would have. But there it is. But hey, look, we still got Jimmy Butler still hanging out there. We'll see how that goes. And then my dream Paul George scenario, which is, I just keep bringing it up. It's nothing there. There's nothing there. But I'll just keep bringing it up because, hey, why not? We'll see. The deadline is Thursday. It's Tuesday. lots of rumors to be flying around. And now that Cousins is in New Orleans, who knows what other teams are going to try to do. Before I wrap it up, the Tucker scenario wasn't too bad. That, you know, so it's kind of like a cheap help now type of versatile wing player, 3-and-D kind of guy. Like, I kind of like that idea. So we'll keep an eye on what Phoenix is doing. You've written about it. It's on masslive.com. If you haven't seen Jay's stuff covering all the rumors, go to masslive.com. Check that out. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. You want to go to the Locked On Pelicans, Locked On Kings. They both have great reaction podcasts, so you can check things out from their perspective. There's a lot going on from their perspectives. You can hear Kings people kind of justifying things. You can hear Pelicans people kind of like, oh, wow, I can't believe this happened. Pleasantly surprised on their part. They're like, oh, geez, shocker. All right, we might have a good team now. So check those out. The rest of the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NBA, they've got everything covered. We'll have you covered here Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating us 5 stars. We are the Locked On Celtics Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.